Hello everyone, welcome back to the channel. I'm Lee, this is Sam from FPL Family. And if you're new to the channel, maybe this is the first, maybe if you've just seen this video and you thought, who the hell are these people? Let's just check out this video and see what they're all about. If you're new to the channel, welcome. If this is your first season playing FPL, then welcome to the FPL Family channel. We did a video a little while back talking about midfielders, because that tends to be, when we get to this point of the season, this point of pre-season, tends to be the topic on everyone's list. And there was a lot of prize points to cover. Over the next few days, we're going to do a forwards and a defenders video. And tonight, we're going to be talking about forwards. Now, not as many options, I don't think, to talk about. Our midfielders video, there was lots of names to churn through. Even at the 6.5 bracket, there was four or five we could have gone to. In the forwards bracket, I don't feel like there's quite so many. Or there is one that in particular that for me is locked in, but we'll talk about him a bit later on. Let's start with Erling Haaland then. In your team, out of your team, 15 million too expensive. What are you saying?
Has not been a draft without him yet.
Mm.
I just think for me, you are the most expensive player in the game for a reason, right? You have everything to love about him. All right, his season last year wasn't so great in comparison to his first season in the Premier League, where he was just outstanding. And I think a lot of us thought maybe he might take just a little bit of a price drop. Maybe they might hold him at the price
optimistic
point.
I think.
But in reality, I sort of love the price. And the longer it's gone on, the more I'm really glad that FPL Towers decided to price him at this, because I think it's making you think. And, you know, it's not very often that you see a player play against the team that he's got to play in game week one in pre-season, bang a hat-trick, and still be only owned by 37% of the game.
I think this is pretty key, isn't it? Because at the beginning of last season, Haaland was up at, what, 80, 90% ownership?
He was 92
ownership.
After game week one.
And it kind of took the fun out of FPL a little bit, because everybody had him. When he scored a couple of braces or whatever in any given week, you didn't even celebrate it, because you're like, well, everyone else has got him.
Yeah.
So I like that they've gone and priced him at 15. It gives us a talking point. It means we can actually have this discussion on the video rather than just, you've got to
have him,
right? I must admit, I was still quite torn. I don't think I'd really made the decision.
Really?
And then, you know, we're recording this on Sunday night. Was it early this morning or maybe yesterday, wasn't it? The Saturday.
Last night, overnight, yeah.
Chelsea played Manchester City, and within about 4 or 5 minutes, he'd got a penalty and a goal. And then he finished off the job late on in the game and scored a hat-trick. And as fate would have it, they are playing Chelsea in game week one.
Yeah.
So for me, where he braced last season. So for me, that was almost kind of the confirmation bias kind of that I needed. You know, the fact that I was thinking a bit torn, but leaning towards yes. Now I'm like, well, I've got to go there.
I mean, 5 goals in pre-season, only 1 blank, a whole summer off because obviously Norway didn't go off to the Euros. I just can't understand. Like, I get it in some ways because of the price. But really, I think there's going to be a lot of managers that are going to spend a lot of uncomfortable days watching Manchester City.
Make a case against him, though, because we can easily go a whole video just going, yeah, you got to have him, he's great. Make a case against him.
I think it's really hard to make a case against it. I mean, you can, because if you do, you could maybe go with a front three that's got Isak and Watkins in it, and maybe it has somebody like a, you know, if the rumours come to fruition, you can have a Solanke in there and you know, have the Spurs forward if that's what ends up happening. Or you can go for 3 of the more premium premium forwards without having Haaland. And that also then allows you to maybe go for a Salah and a Son, or a Salah and a Palmer, or a Salah and a Saka.
It does mean you can have more of a squad, doesn't it? Because I've seen a few Haaland-less drafts out there, and I think to make the case for not having Haaland, you can suddenly have Gabriel and Guardiola at the back with maybe another Porro, say a 5.5. You can have that's a pretty elite defence, M3. You can even have a decent keeper if you want.
Yeah.
Then you're not sort of shopping around in the Rodgers and the Minters and the sort of Harry Winkses. We sat here on the midfielders video, and I said to you, which midfielder is most locked in? And you went, oh, it's Harry Winks. I was like, what are you talking about? Well, that's because
of Haaland.
You've got Haaland in your draft. So I think the case against it is you haven't got to shop around in the bargain basement in either your midfield or your forward line.
No.
Because you can have a stronger squad. And those, Sam, there will be some managers out there thinking about playing the bench boost in game week one. There's definitely a bit of narrative towards that. Hard to do, I think, if you're going to go with Haaland, because you've got to have a Winks or a Pedro or somebody cheaper along the line somewhere.
But in reality, I'm not planning to... I think there'll be a lot of managers out there that go, well, I'm having Haaland, I'm going to have him all season. So in which case, your bench is always going to be slightly odd. You know, it's never going to be premium picks that you're going to have the luxury of having there. Mm. I think for me, that's the thing, isn't it? It's, do you have a squad, a full squad of 15, really nice player in every single position? Or do you have a squad of probably 12 or 13 and the last sort of two or three picks are a compromise? They're a Winks, or they're a Joao Pedro up top, or they're, you know, two 4.0 defenders, however it is that you want to structure your team. I think that's the case. And I think the other issue I have with going without Haaland is that we don't have any security around like the Foden position or anything like that. And that for me makes going without Foden for the first couple of weeks something I would not be
going without Haaland for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I think you can't.
You said going without Foden for the first couple of weeks.
Well, they're going to be going without him, aren't they?
Okay, got it.
In reality, he's not back yet. And they're not expecting to play in the Community Shield. I don't think he's going to get regular starts at that point. So for me, I just won't. I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't be without Haaland, and I think you're mad if you don't.
All right. Okay, let's get into a few of these then. Here's my latest draft that you can see on the screen. Changed even from when we were here last week doing the midfielders video. It will change again, no doubt about it.
Is Harry Winks in there now?
Harry Winks currently not in the team, Sam. Not in the team. My current front line is Haaland. He is currently in right now, but we've done plenty on him already. The other player that hasn't left my draft yet is the man on your screen right there, is Alexander Isak. Now, there is a little bit of talk about maybe a shoulder injury that he picked up in a friendly, so we do have to keep a bit of an eye on that. But assuming that's okay, listen, I've got all the time in the world for Isak. He's on penalties. He's going to be, I think, pretty talismanic for a fairly attacking, you know, from a fluidity perspective, they're going to be pretty attacking, I think, Newcastle. And the fixtures look so, so good indeed. Currently in 55.5% of teams, which is the most selected out of all the forwards. So you can see why, right? You can see why.
Yeah, you can. And I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, I think, with Isak, because, like you say, did pick up that shoulder injury. However, it did happen during the game. He did continue to play the game afterwards. And when asked by Howe why he took him off at half-time, Howe said, well, that was our plan. He was only going to play the first half. So I think it's fine, but it is one of those things where he also went on to then say, obviously, we'll check it afterwards, because sometimes these injuries, you know, they don't show themselves on first light. But if he's well, I think he is pretty much locked in half of the teams already.
Mm.
And of course, we'll see a lot of people that will have auto-picked their team and then not really done a lot with it since. And I suspect that he'll be growing, I suspect, over the coming weeks. I don't think his ownership is going to come down. I think if anything, unless he's injured, if anything, I suspect that he will increase his ownership, because actually, you know, when you look at the opening day fixtures, he's in the captaincy conversation as well.
Have a look at some of these, right? For the first sort of 5 weeks, they look pretty good. You're right, Southampton at home, Bournemouth, Spurs, Wolves, Fulham. Gets a little bit trickier then with City, and then Everton away is a tricky fixture because, you know, some of us are going Mikalenko, Pickford. We're expecting better things defensively from Everton. But that first five there, for those that are going without Haaland, for those brave enough to go without him, he looks a pretty good captaincy pick, doesn't he, Isak, for game week one?
Certainly for game week one, yeah. I mean, Haaland, you've got obviously the away game against Chelsea, and we said at the beginning he did brace there last season, and obviously has then got a hat-trick against them in pre-season this year. You've obviously got Mo Salah, who's got an away game, of course, but nonetheless against another newly promoted team in Ipswich. So there are players that you could go to, but actually the standout second captaincy option outside of Haaland and Salah, if you don't want to go for one of those guys, I think it is Isak. It's a really attractive home fixture where he was so good last season. He and Gordon, both phenomenal at St James's Park last year. In a Newcastle team that, you know, hasn't got the added stress of European football this year, he hasn't had a busy, hectic summer playing in the Euros or playing in Copa America like some others have had. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to owning Isak in this early part of the season. I think he's pretty much, I mean, if you don't have Haaland, I think he should be your first choice forward. If you do have Haaland, I think he should be your second choice.
And what about these away games as well? Game week two, Bournemouth, Wolves, Fulham. I mean, I was reading them off then as if those were like, you know, nice games, and the FDR says they're twos and threes. So the FDR says they're kind of nice games, but I don't know, you know, Bournemouth away, Wolves having a good pre-season, Fulham away, not going to be easy. And then Spurs, obviously a tricky game up at St James's, despite what you said, how good they are. I agree with you, but, you know, Spurs will be a tough game. If you sort of, you take Southampton at home out of the equation, Do you think as many of us would be going for Isak? And maybe even for those that are looking at Isak Gordon double up. That's one of the reasons I'm not looking at Gordon, is because I want Isak quite so much. Obviously, Isak's, I think, nailed in my team.
Mm.
The double up offensively, particularly with those three away games, I'm not mega on it. That might change. I'm not mega on it, but I can see why people will go there.
I think you look at those away games, the Bournemouth game, the Wolves game in particular, those two. Those defences aren't watertight. There's definitely goals away on the road against Bournemouth and against Wolves. Fulham,
tons though. It's a difficult. They're difficult games then.
No, I think there'll be goals there for Isak. I think Wolves and Bournemouth equally will get goals in return. I think those are scoring games for both sides. But right. I would expect that if Newcastle are scoring goals, that Isak will be a big part of that. I think the Fulham game is much more difficult because Fulham actually defensively have been really solid traditionally. So let's see. But for me, I think maybe the Southampton game skews it in his favour, but there's still a lot of nice fixtures in those opening few weeks.
All right, well, let's talk about a favourite of yours. I've noticed I've got this on defenders, so I need to put it on forwards. Here we go. Let's put it on forwards and let's have a look at a favourite of yours. If we go a little bit further down here, here we go, Rodrigo Muniz. Only, it's a reasonable amount, but only in 6.6% of teams. Currently the 11th highest owned player or forward in the game, let's say. And again, the FDR's looking pretty good. I mean, Manchester United away, clearly going to be a challenging game at Old Trafford, but it's the opening day. You never know. It's going to be on TV. First team to kick a ball this season, Man United and Fulham.
They've got so many injuries as well, Manchester
United. And Manchester United haven't looked great in pre-season, and in defence haven't looked great in particular. Then it's Leicester, Ipswich, West Ham at home, Newcastle at home, Forest away. You can see why Muniz is popular, but I'm kind of surprised that he's as low as 6.6, you know.
Arguably, you look at the fixture rating, there's only a couple of games in there that I don't like. Obviously, there's the game in game week 7 against Manchester City away. That's
don't fancy
a
that,
horrible
of course.
Fixture, yep. But that's fine. He's your third forward. Pretty much, you probably can bench him in that one, depending upon how the rest of your team is set up. I'm also not hugely keen on the Aston Villa game that follows that one, because Villa have been so good since Emery arrived.
And, 19th of October, they're going to be worrying about Europe and stuff by then, Villa.
They will be, absolutely. And of course, Champions League is a lot different this year, more matches. Some of those games are going to be on a Thursday evening rather than a Tuesday and a Wednesday like they traditionally have. So all of that's going to play a big part. Muniz currently is my third forward in the game. In my
current draft, I've got him.
And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I really like the Fulham fixtures. They sit right up the top of the fixture difficulty when you run it through about game week 10, game week 11. So they're really nice opening set of fixtures. I am one of these managers that even with the new news about rolling transfers, I still like to wildcard as late as I can with the first wildcard. Because it enables me to then delay my second wildcard. And that feels important. And particularly this season when there's a lot of variables in people's teams. There's, have you got Haaland or not? Have you got Salah or not? Have you got all of these other picks? And it is, I mean, you look at the ownership figures and players aren't owned by huge numbers.
Mm.
Even the most highly owned are still only in the sort of 50s. And that's going to make for a really interesting FPL season. And so for me, that makes me want to hold that wild card even longer if possible, because it gives me the opportunity to watch as much game time as possible, really understand the fixture runs and who's looking promising and who isn't. And so with Muniz, I think he gives us a nice opportunity to just pick a player, barring an injury, who plays regularly for Fulham. And I also like the business that Fulham are doing in the transfer window. They're going out, they're spending money.
Yes, Smith Rowe, a good signing.
Smith Rowe, they've got Pereira there, obviously. There's a lot of nice attacking options in that Fulham team now. And I think that only bodes well for Muniz.
No penalties for Muniz, though. We're expecting, I think, Pereira to be on them.
But
nevertheless.
But that, you can't own every penalty taker from every club. This year, we're seeing the penalty takers price slightly higher. It's why Foden hasn't. He's in at 9.5 rather than the Suns and the Sackers who have come in at 10. You know, they've priced the forwards and the midfielders that take the penalties just slightly higher. And so that means that you are looking then for the value elsewhere. And I think, yes, he might not have penalties, but we did see a really nice end to the season for him last year, and hopefully he can continue that this season.
Okay, all right. Well, nicely priced at 6 million. Another that's nicely priced currently in my team, João Pedro at 5.5. We're going to go back up to the top in some of these more premium ones in just a second. But tell me about João Pedro then. Fixtures a little bit mixed for Brighton going into the new season. Everton, you know, United, Arsenal, before it gets a little bit easier with Ipswich, Forest and Chelsea. João Pedro then, 5.5, probably on penalties. Likely to be, I would say, first choice for Brighton, despite the fixtures. This is a mistake, isn't it? 5.5, FPL got this wrong.
I don't know, you know, Lee, because when the game first went live, I was like, yeah, João Pedro all day long. But then the rib injury happened. He missed a chunk of pre-season. He didn't go on the Japanese tour. He is now back in training. But I don't think he's been in a pre-season match yet, unless I'm mistaken. I don't think I've seen him playing
Didn't
yet.
See him against QPR in the highlights the other day. I think Brighton won 1-0 and it was a Welbeck penalty.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Welbeck took that penalty because João Pedro wasn't on the pitch.
But my point is that I don't think he's played anything in pre-season in terms of match time yet. I'll have to go and check the Fantasy Football Scout.
Yeah.
Tracker for that worries me slightly, because they do have players like Danny Welbeck that could fill in there, and it could be that he starts the season a bit slowly, and we saw that last year, didn't we? That he, I mean, it was obviously a new manager this year, so it's going to be slightly different, but we did see a lot of rotation for João Pedro in those early weeks, and when he was playing he would score the penalties and that was great, and then he just wouldn't start for a little bit, and then it was a frustration for managers. At 5.5, I think it's worth a punt. However, I don't love the fixtures. And I think that the forwards, if you just go to 6, if you can go up to sort of 7.5, 8, then you're really looking at nice options in that forward category. So I don't know. I feel less and less love for João Pedro the closer to the game weeks we get.
All right. Well, before we head into those more premium ones, I'm going to ask you to put your favourites, either Solanke, Havertz, Watkins, even the likes of Darwin maybe is in there, and maybe Hoyland, I don't know. But before we do that, I'm going to give a quick shout out to our new sponsors. We have a new patron sponsor called Sleeper, the Sleeper app. For those of you that are big into US fantasy sports, you may already know about Sleeper. If you've never heard of them already, at Sleeper Footy on Twitter is the place, or X, I should say. That's where you're going to go and find them. Or you can find them on all of your favorite kind of Android or iOS app stores. Just type Sleeper app. So these guys are coming along and sponsoring our Manager of the Month tier over on Patreon this year. So not only are we going to be giving away a football shirt to the winner, so every month we have a Manager of the Month competition, and if you are the top point scorer that month, last season you got a footy shirt, and we gave loads away. We gave loads and loads of footy shirts away last year to all of our Patreon supporters. Well, this year, not only are you going to get that as a winner, but you're also going to get £100 worth of vouchers to kitbag.com. So you get the shirt, and you get a voucher to buy a shirt for somebody else, maybe. Somebody else.
Or the away kit, if you've already got the home kit.
Or the away kit, you know, if you want to go all out on one particular team. But crucially, also, if you come second or third in the Manager of the Month, because I kept putting the graphic up there every week, and every month people would say, oh, I just missed out by a point, or I just missed out by 2 points. So if you come first, second, or third now in our Manager of the Month competition over on Patreon, you will get a shirt, right? It's just that if you come first, you will also get a voucher. So the top three now getting prizes in our Manager of the Month Patreon League. So head over to patreon.com/FPL family. $5, maybe £4 a month to get involved with that. We have some different tiers as well. If you don't fancy the Manager of the Month competition, then there is a lower tier than that where you can get bonus podcasts and access to our Slack community. There's higher tiers where you can get access to Sam and I. We can talk through your teams on a one-to-one on Zoom. But all of the information is in the links in the description below, patreon.com/FPL family. Doesn't matter how bad or good your season's going, every month we reset the scores to zero, and every month you've got a chance of being in that top three now that's going to get the footy shirt, and you've got a chance of being that number one who gets the £100 voucher as well. So Sleeper app, at Sleeper Footy over on X, and patreon.com/FPL family if you want to get involved this season. Sam, let's go back to the forwards then. Tell me who you like best out of the remaining premium forwards. So Havertz is in the conversation. Watkins is in the conversation. Dominic Solanke, potentially at Spurs, right now at Bournemouth, but potentially at Spurs. Would we put him in the premium bucket? I don't know. It's 7.5. But generally speaking, of the rest of the forwards, who do you like the look of?
I would love to own Ollie Watkins.
Yes. Yes. Who wouldn't?
Really, really, really don't like the idea of going into game week one without Watkins, but he is currently the sacrificial lamb in my fantasy team. I just can't find a way to get him if I want to own Haaland and Salah. And it is not a nice feeling because
52.5%
teams. Yeah, he's in a lot of teams. If you don't have him, he will hurt more than most if you don't own him. He's not going to hurt Haaland levels from last season, but he's still going to hurt your rank if you don't have him. We don't know yet, really, who's on penalties at Aston Villa because obviously Douglas Luiz has now left and he was their penalty taker. We're not really sure yet who's taking over, whether that's going to be Watkins or somebody else. At 9 million, he just feels a little bit too much.
I don't know, you know.
I think
that's good value at 9, honestly.
I'm not saying I don't think he's good value. I'm just saying it's very hard to find 9 million for your second forward.
It is, it is. And there's been a lot being made online about this overperformance of assists. You can see that in the stats here, guys, right? So 19 goals against an XG of 16.74 last season. So a little bit of overperformance there. But 18 assists against an XA of 4.02. So got a lot more assists than he perhaps, you know, should have inverted done. Commas with that XA. Mm. You reading anything into that? You sort of buying into that narrative?
No, these things kind of don't worry me too much. I think Aston Villa are a very creative team. They create a lot of chances. They are very attacking with their style of play. That's just how Emery is as a coach. And I think, you know, that benefits your forward. So, of course, you're going to likely to get goals. But also the way that Ollie Watkins plays, yes, his XA isn't particularly high. However, that doesn't worry me. I think if we lose a few assists next season in favour of more goals because he takes over the penalty responsibility, then that's not necessarily going to be a bad thing. I think for me, he's the one I would like to have, but I just can't physically work it.
All right.
Unless I lose one of my big hitters in Salah or Haaland.
All right. Can't tempt you with the Watkins then. What about Havertz or who did I mention before? Talking about Solanke, maybe Darwin at 7.5. Some good value in there, no?
There is. And I think it's difficult, right? So Havertz is now back with Arsenal. He has rejoined the squad, played a part in both of their last two matches. I think he played 69 minutes against Liverpool and 19 minutes in the match before. So it's not had a huge amount of pre-season match time because, of course, was away at the Euros with Germany, has scored, but no assists so far from him. We are seeing him maybe out of position the wrong way. So in FPL, we love to look for an out of position player, don't we?
Sure.
We love to look for a midfielder who's playing up front. We love to look for a defender who ends up in midfield. With Havertz, we maybe are seeing a forward who plays in midfield. And it's
only
not
because Jesus is playing in pre-season, right? You've got to think that Havertz is their preferred number nine when all's fit and said and done, no?
I should think so, yes. But it does feel I guess for me, Havertz was the player that I was looking at because if you look in the midfielder slots, obviously you can go for a Saka or you could go for an Ødegaard, but both of them are going to cost you more than Havertz will. So if you're thinking about an investment in the Arsenal attack at a cheaper price point, then Havertz feels like the way to go.
Okay.
We just have to watch, I think, the last few matches of pre-season just to see where he is playing because actually Gabriel Jesus has been playing very, very well. So will Arteta just ditch him altogether? Maybe not. Maybe we see this rotation slightly more. Then you've got your boys. You've got Gakpo and Darwin, both priced the same, both priced in at 7.5 million. As far as I'm aware, neither yet back with Liverpool. Obviously, Gakpo went long with the Netherlands.
Today, I think Gakpo maybe a day before. So they are back now, but they've only just arrived, I think.
And not played in a game yet.
Don't think so. No, don't think so.
We're not really yet understanding, I still don't think, the full impact of slots number nine. And we did a podcast on this for our patrons the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
We still don't really know who is number nine is going to be.
One more friendly for Liverpool, Sevilla, I think, on the 11th, I think, of August.
Yeah, so we'll see how that game plays out because obviously we'll have most of the squad back by then or probably all of the squad back by then given Liverpool's opening game is on the 17th because you're the lunchtime kickoff.
We are the lunchtime kickoff.
As usual. But I think for me, I don't know how I feel about Darwin. I've been there. I've been bitten once before. I can only see him being low down.
We've all been bitten before, haven't we?
And I can only see him scoring low in the bonus points this year because he loves a shot off target, that boy.
He does.
But I think he's going to be a wait and see, actually.
Okay. Anybody else catching your eye? Anybody else you want to talk about? I'd like to give the final word to a couple of players, a couple of 7.5 options.
Mm.
One, a favourite of yours, Mateta, from last season, who did end the season very, very well under Glasner. Now, not going to have Elise supplying the bullets for him, but we'll have Eze and others sitting around him being creative. Compare him, if you would, to Dominic Solanke and tell me how excited you are about him potentially becoming a Spurs player. At time of recording, the links are there, but they are no more than links, we should say. Sorry, Bournemouth fans. We're not going to start anything here, right?
No, no, because Levy will offer 50p. You know what we're like. We don't offer a lot of money. I think there's a lot of interesting picks in the 7.5 because obviously Tony's in there as well, who's been linked with Spurs this summer. So it will be interesting to see if either of those transfers do come off. Mateta, I love. I think Mateta is a fantastic player.
Slightly 8% selected by Sam, a bit under the radar.
But has been away at the Olympics with France.
All right.
So again, a long summer there. And we just maybe have to just see how that pans back. I think most people would go for Eze, who's just weirdly £500,000 cheaper and likely to maybe be involved in more of the goals and assists and maybe therefore pick up more points.
Nice fixtures for Palace.
But they are very nice fixtures.
Look at them fixtures. Look very, very good indeed. Particularly West Ham at home in 2, Leicester at home in 4, and even United at home in 5 looks pretty good. But you're right, I'm not sure many are going to go for the double up. We spoke before about Ollie Watkins and his XA overachievement. Well, look at this from Mateta as well. An XG of 10, but got 16 goals, 10.84. So a delta of, you know, what's that, 5 and a bit. And then an XA of only 1.3 and got 7 assists. So quite a big overperformance there versus his expected stats. Now, I'm not expecting a big regression to the mean, but we might get a little bit of that, Mateta. And that just puts me off the double up a little bit with Eze. That's all I'd say on him.
I also think that just generally speaking for a minute, the double up of attacking players for game week one is not something I really like to do. I like to spread the love a little bit just because you never really know exactly what teams are coming in hot and which ones are going to have a slower start to the season. You can gauge sometimes what it's like from pre-season, but often it's not really until game week one, game week two, that we really get a feel for it. And if you've doubled up investment in one club and they don't start well, you can then be chasing your tail trying to swap two players. So whereas if you've just got one, it's much easier. I think the other players that you mentioned before, the Solankes, the Tonys, they could be both really interesting picks. Tony, if he stays at Brentford, I think remains an interesting pick. Same with Solanke if he stays at Bournemouth. If one of them ends up at Spurs, though, at 7.5,
you'll be in.
I certainly think if if Solanke ends up coming to Spurs at 7.5 million, he'll be straight in my team.
Yeah.
Would he not with you?
Yes, I would think so. The only thing that would put me off is Spurs fixtures. Tricky, I would say. So that's not the easiest set of fixtures. Mixed. But and I'd have to. We'd want to see, I think, how he settles into the Ange Ball system. But there's no doubt that, you know, Spurs have been playing Kulusevski in a kind of false nine over the course of pre-season. That's been working reasonably well from what I can see.
I think so Solanke's exactly our sort of player.
You put a player in there that's got that sort of stature, but also got an eye for goal in the way that Kulusevski perhaps hasn't, then could be a very, very astute signing. Could be an astute signing. Well, there we go, guys. That is the forwards as they are right now. Haaland and Isak, I think, for me, look pretty locked. It's that third slot, and it'll depend on how my midfield and my defence look as to who I go for right now. João Pedro right now, but you're slowly convincing me, I think, that Muniz is a good pick.
Worth the extra 0.5, I think.
Could be. Just a quick shout before we go. We said on our midfielders video that we did, if you haven't watched the midfielders one, go back and check that out from a couple of weeks ago. We said that the new Fantasy Football Scout app was nearly here. It was about to be released. Well, folks, it is here. It's available to download on the iOS store and the Google Play store as well. So whether you've got an Android phone or an Apple phone or an iPhone, whatever you've got, the app is now available. It's ace. I've been fiddling about with it to my heart's content. You can compare three players. You can see it there. You know, in the top, what's that, the top right-hand corner of the graphic there, you've got like a red, amber, green almost on three different players you can compare. And then you can sort of scroll down. It goes straight into heat maps. It goes straight into like these kind of spider graphs. It is brilliant. You can waste hours just comparing players
in
pre-season.
It's not a waste. It's the best use of your time heading into game week one.
It's a great way to spend your time. It's a great way to spend your pre-season. We thoroughly recommend, obviously we are affiliated with Fantasy Football Scout, so we love the guys over there very, very much. But even if we weren't, we would be on this app like a dog on a slipper. Absolutely brilliant this app is. So get onto that, download it from your favourite app store, and then go compare João Pedro, Haaland, Muniz. Go and compare all these guys and see who you think the best forward is. Get in the comments below, guys. Leave us a like, hit that subscribe button if you're new around here, and get in the comments. Haaland, Isak, locked in for you. Who's your third one going to be? Is it a cheapie like João Pedro, Muniz? You fancy Muniz? I quite still like João Pedro. Or are you going to splash out on a 7.5? Would you buy Dominic Solanke if he went to Spurs?
I will.
Comment yes, I would buy Solanke in the comments
below. Come on,
below.
Daniel Levy.
Get your finger out, Daniel Lever, and get him signed. Guys, leave us a like, hit subscribe. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.